That I would like us to take a look at is from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. If you would take a look at your pew Bible there, I'll be with you in a second. Before I read this, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that we are about to hear read. You have given us this word out of your grace and out of your love and mercy for us. You have given us a place to turn to so that we can know you and your desire and love for our lives. We ask that our hearts and ears are open to hear what it is that you have. We pray for a blessing upon the expounding of the word, that it may be pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. And Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When they began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions, and payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Always love reading scriptures like this that end with, you know, that shocking kind of moment like that. And then you immediately say, and this is the word of the Lord. You know, because it's really kind of jarring. But there's warnings that Jesus gives us all the time. This particular scripture ties in very heavily with the scripture we read last week. Can anyone tell me the sermon that we had last week? No? It's all right. You don't have to. I'll go over it real quickly. It was immediately prior to this, and it was about the reproving another who sins. Basically, it's a threefold step to keep people within the church, meaning if someone does something bad or harmful to another person, sins against a person privately, that person goes to them privately, tries to convince them of their wrong, and if that doesn't work, bring a witness, and then if that doesn't work, you bring them before the church, and then if that doesn't work, then you toss them out of the church and you treat them as tax collectors and sinners. In other words, you continue praying for them, continuing ministering to them, and continuing hoping and praying that they receive Jesus Christ once again. Basically, all of this is tied with Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, prior to what we read last week that said, so it is not the will of our Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. In other words, God, through Christ, will do absolutely anything for us to stay within his presence. Christ loves us so much, he showed us that he spread his arms and died for us. God loved us so much that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that Jesus would be with him for all eternity as a promise that God also wants us for for all eternity in his presence. Peter, running all this running through his mind, starts to think, all right, well, this shows how we should continue to work and keep the relationships alive within the life of the church. But what if someone really sins against me again and 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 again? Maybe you've had that situation in your own life. What should I do then? Is there a time when I can just put my foot down and say, enough is enough? I'm not going to take anymore. But Peter also realizes that Jesus is showing that God the Father is a God of love. So in that culture, you were okay to forgive someone again and again and again. It was socially acceptable to stop at four times. Someone sins against you four times, you can stop forgiving them and just wash your hands of it. So Peter, knowing that God is God of love, he says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Even up to seven times? Because, you know, he's stretching it a little bit. And Jesus probably appreciates that Peter's trying, but Jesus is talking about something far more radical than what we in our lives tend to agree with at times. He says, not seven. 77. Or other translation says seven times 70. I had heard someone say long time ago, they were having a problem in their life with someone in their life taking advantage of them. And they said they're getting tired of it. And they have forgiven them lots of times. And they were on number 63. So they only had 14 more times to go. And then they would be done. Not exactly sure that that's what Jesus was getting at. In fact, I know that that's not what Jesus was getting at, because then he follows it up with a story. And Jesus' classic move in life is that whenever someone asks him a question about something else, Jesus always turns the subject. When Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? You know, Peter's talking about how many times he has to forgive Joe Smith over there. Jesus tends, in his parables, to take that finger and turn it right around and point it right back at the person asking the question. So the story he tells is the one that I've gone through about the man who owed his master, 10,000 talents? Is that how much it was? Yeah, there it is. Yep, 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was worth roughly about 15 years' wages. We're talking an enormous debt. I mean, a debt that is so far out there that it borders on the hyperbolic. It's just an exaggeration. It's got to be. And if it's not, what did the guy use all this money for? It's crazy how much money this is. What's far crazier is that when the master summoned the guy said, I can't do it. And the guy says, well, I'm going to have to sell you and put you in prison and get something towards this debt. And the guy says, give me more time. And this is the crazy part. The master, having pity upon his servant, says, fine, I'm not going to give you more time, but I'm going to wipe it away. Have you ever had that burden lifted from your shoulders? That thing that weighed so heavily upon you that you felt like it infused life with everything? You ate and you thought about this thing. You went down to bed and you had trouble sleeping because you were thinking about this thing. You woke up in the morning thinking about this thing. And then all of a sudden, the thing's gone. How good that feels. It's like a relief taken away. Whew. Gone. The guy left, probably with that feeling of elation, only to go and demand that someone who owes him money pay him back. And it was 100 denarii, not insignificant. 100 denarii would represent 100 days' wages. So however much, you know, is a day's wage today, multiply that by 100, and that's about how much he owed him. Not insignificant, but still pales into comparison to what was forgiven him. The master says, why? Why, when you have experienced such forgiveness in your life, do you withhold forgiveness in another's life? And when Peter asks, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? 7 times. And Jesus says, not 77 times. The point of the parable is to say that when we think about forgiveness, our base should be what Christ has forgiven us. That through the love of Jesus Christ in our lives have been saved. We have been made free from the burdens and troubles in our lives. That's not to say that they're not always there still, but we know that as we go through life, Jesus walks beside us, helps us carry the load and the burden of whatever it is that we're feeling, understanding that we no longer live holding this up by ourselves, but Christ has given us a way out. Should we not then share that freely with those who also show their imperfections towards us? It's not easy. It takes work and time. And some people can be quite frustrating, can't they? Again and again and again, we tell them, you know, please don't do this. And they do it anyway. And they come back to us and say, you know, I'm really sorry. And yet, it just happens. There's an old English word. Actually, the word itself is in old English. It's the meaning is old, and it's kind of lost the meaning over the year. You have heard of the word patient, right? You know what being patient with someone means. It means to kind of hang in there with them. There's an old word, like I said, the meaning is old. The word itself is still, we still use it, that is a synonym for patience. You know what it is? Suffering. To suffer with someone is to be patient with someone. I love the little saying in the Old English for the story of Jesus calling the little children to him. Do you remember the old traditional phrase? Suffer the children unto me. I mean, he's right. Sometimes having children does feel like suffering. But it's about being patient with children in our lives. And sometimes being patient with another as we offer the forgiveness that Christ has given to us feels just like that, suffering. But then we look at the suffering of Jesus Christ on our behalf, and it pales into comparison with anything that we have experienced. Not only did Jesus Christ live and die and rise again for us, but again and again and again throughout Jesus' life, he's patient with us even as we reject him, and yet loves us still, day in and day out. The theme for this scripture is still that one verse. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. That if we can continue to forgive from a heart, even those who continually reject us, continually sin against us, then we continue to leave that door open for God to love them through us, no matter how long it takes. For Jesus loved us that much, and Jesus loves them that much. And we praise God for the opportunity to suffer even in that way, because he loved us first.